This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Get Vaccinated Chattanooga is a community coalition to increase access to and acceptance of the COVID-19 vaccine in this city's most underserved and vulnerable communities. Ladarius Price is Community Outreach Manager for Sempa Community Care, and Paolo Hudson Solorsino is with the Latino Outreach Initiative at Sempa. Ladarius, Paolo, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Get Vaccinated Chattanooga is a coalition effort to ensure that communities that have been the most disproportionately affected by COVID-19 receive vaccinations. And in reaching out to these different groups, in order to succeed, you have to build relationships. You have to establish trust.
Absolutely. And first, this is the community of Chattanooga. And so we want to make sure that everyone in Chattanooga, regardless of the barriers that you experience or the disparities that you've experienced in the past, that everyone has that equitable information on how we can beat this pandemic and how you can get the solution, which is the vaccine. And so by having this coalition targeting specific communication strategies to provide that equitable information on what is the vaccine, how does it work, and how do you get it, is what's going to place us up for success for Hamilton County and Chattanooga to beat Chattanooga. And our slogan is a stronger immunity, stronger community. We wholeheartedly stand behind that slogan because it's our community, and our community is made up of a beautiful diversity of languages, of cultures. And we also have to look at the bad as well, where other folks have experienced this pandemic disproportionately, not only from a health perspective, an economic perspective, and so on. And so when we're developing our strategies of communication, what you said earlier about trust is our key component. It's not necessarily sharing the facts and all the numbers. It's more so building that connection, that relatability, that communities know that we are here, we see them, and we're representing them. And we know that they are part of the solution as well.
Ladarius?
Of course, Latinx and African-American communities, a lot of what we do, it mirrors each other, just to be very transparent. We struggle with a lot of the same things, and not just in healthcare, but that's the focus of our topic today. So with that being said, our job as a subgroup is to ensure that there's equitable distribution, not only of the vaccine, but just healthcare across the board. It literally is a fight every day that a lot of people don't see. Paolo and myself, we work together on many different projects. He's like a brother to me. So a lot of what we do overlaps and overlays. It really is. As we sit at different tables, at different committees and boards, it's a fight to make sure that everything is equitably distributed, and also to make sure that our people get the same opportunity, not just healthcare, but great healthcare like everybody else.
To add on to that and echo that same thing, it's not just about COVID. You know, I think COVID is the spotlight that has really shown our community how disproportionate healthcare access is in our community. Because of that, this is why the communities that we're serving have been heavily affected by COVID because of the health disparities. If you have an underlying condition that you may or may not know of, that's where COVID attacks the most vulnerable. And so we're hoping that through this effort and through this coalition, we're developing that infrastructure that's really going to set Chattanooga up to support our most vulnerable and really eradicate that disproportionate access to healthcare.
And how have you had to vary your messaging? There's no one size that fits all, but you still have to have a consistency in what you do and a consistency in your results.
Yes, it is true that we've had to customize our messages, Paolo and his message to the Latinx community. Of course, the language, he has to take things and develop them and translate them in a language that our Latinx and brown communities understand. For us in the African-American community, a lot of times we speak a different language than some of our other counterparts. The biggest component in all of that when we think about messaging, yes, we want it to be one band, one sound, but at the same time, we understand that it has to be articulated in a way that our people understand. And the biggest thing with that is having trusted messengers. To go back to really what Paolo just touched on, you have to have people that the community trusts in order for them to receive it in the right manner. I mean, with this group of individuals and organizations that have been placed together, we know for a fact that our community trusts us, and they trust us because we have a great relationship with them. They know that we have their best interest at heart. And what we see a lot of times in the healthcare field, organizations and people want to go into communities that they know nothing about because they haven't taken the time to build a relationship with them. So I'm very grateful to sit on a committee with so many people who have truly invested their times and their lives into this work. And it makes the part of messaging a lot more easy.
And along those same lines, Ray, yes, there are unique challenges and unique barriers to the different communities that we're focusing on and serving. For instance, in Latinx, there's language barriers, there's medical mistrust, low health literacy, a lot of fear with what's going on. Here in Hamilton County, we do not have a Spanish publication or radio station or news network. And so although there are unique challenges and barriers, the common thread that weaves this whole messaging campaign together is the ultimate goal that we want a stronger community by having stronger immunity. And the way we do that is to get vaccinated. And so we take our learnings of the unique barriers that each community is focusing, we go ahead and tackle those, whether that's debunking myths about the vaccine, for instance, that it causes infertility or that they're injecting you with COVID or whatever the hesitancy is, we make sure that through data and surveillance, we're getting that information and debunking it as it arises with the common thread of we have to build a stronger community through the vaccination. And so ensuring that our populations are well aware of how the vaccine works, basic information. Let's go back to testing days when the pandemic first came into this country. Latinx made up almost 88% of positive cases in Chattanooga of COVID-19. And that was simply based on not having access to basic mitigation information on how to protect yourself and prevent the spread. And so through efforts like this, we were able to get that number down to 25% and lower to 13%. And so by just having a group like this that is ensuring that our vulnerable populations and our populations that may not have been at the forefront prior are at the table. Because if we don't mark our vulnerable communities as priority, whether it be COVID or health disparities or whatnot, we're never going to be successful. And so that's what this community is doing, is addressing those unique challenges and barriers through the common, consistent message of Get Vaccinated Chattanooga.
And even with the tailored messaging and even with the trusted messengers, how much are you and your colleagues still encountering hesitancy? What progress has been made so far in tackling that, and what challenges remain in the coming weeks?
Starting out, of course, there was a lot of low-hanging fruit there when you talk about people wanting to get vaccinated. And so we were able to achieve very early on by going out and into the community and providing a vaccine for those who really wanted it in our community. Now comes the challenge of us really educating and doing messaging, making sure our communities fully understand what the vaccine is. And like Paulo said, what the vaccine is not. And so we've really revved up our efforts in going into the community and saying, hey, this is what the vaccine can do for us. When we talk about getting back to a sense of normalcy, when we talk about being able to go to family reunions and loving on our loved ones and engaging with our friends and doing all of the things that we love doing. This is an intricate piece and us being able to get back to that place. So the challenge is still there. It's a very heavy one, but we're up for the task. It's going to take a lot of hard work. It's going to take a lot of creativity. It's going to take a lot of thinking outside of the box. And most importantly, it's going to take us coming together collectively to get this done. It's not going to be a one-stop shop. It's not going to be one organization that is able to do this. It's not going to be an individual. It's going to be us coming together collectively with all of our gifts and talents, resources and efforts to ensure that our community gets not only what it needs, but what it deserves.
And along those same lines, this is not a campaign that is forceful. We don't think that by being aggressive or really pushy on getting vaccinated, that's going to be our answer to getting Chattanooga vaccinated. We have to be mindful of the past. We have to be mindful of the experience that these individuals are experiencing. These are communities that have always given crumbs, per se, and leftovers. And so I'm not surprised at the hesitancy that exists. And so the way we overcome that is, one, really engaging with the community one-on-one, really granular. just having these types of conversations at the dinner table and with our different community partners from the workforce, from faith-based communities, from school systems and grassroots community groups, just really listening to know how we can educate properly. Because through education, that person is empowered. And that's what we really want to do, is empower these individuals with education in a message and language that is clearly understandable, that these are the facts, so that they're empowered to make that decision themselves and don't feel forced. Keeping in mind the past of different novel things that have come throughout our community and different, you know, this is a very new thing. We definitely need to keep that in mind. But through education and leadership of, like Ladarius said, of utilizing trusted messengers, that the community sees representation in folks that are receiving the vaccine, and that it is okay, that it is the remedy to move on so that we can hug again, so that we can get back to holiday seasons again and not repeat what was last year. And also through these kind of things, it's not something that's going to be from one day to next. It, like Ladarius said, it is going to take a lot of hard work and a lot of consistent work. We're not just checking boxes here like has been done in the past. Really want to make sure that connection is being built. And I'm happy to report that back in March, the Latinx community made about 4% of the population vaccinated. And this campaign launched at the end of March. And here we are now, early May, and we're now almost at 30% of the Latinx population is vaccinated. So it just goes to show that when you have at the very beginning of your strategy that you are marking these communities as priority and providing that equitable distribution of education and information, that people are empowered to make these decisions comfortably, and they know what they're doing and not just going along with the flow, but they're empowered with that education and knowledge to make that decision for themselves and their family and ultimately the community.
What Paulo was just saying, it is a very, very personal decision. As of May 10th, 26.2% of African Americans in Hamilton County have been partially vaccinated. And so with that being said, you know, I give my own personal testimony a lot. I remember when the vaccine first hit Hamilton County, Paulo was one of the first ones, and I remember seeing him on Facebook taking that picture and taking that stance and saying, hey, this is something because I love my community, I love my family, I'm willing to do this. And me and my level of hesitancy, even being in the medical field, I said, look, I don't know about that, because this was the first year that I took the flu vaccine. And so I was very hesitant. You know, that's the other component of being very transparent with our people. I mean, it took prayer. It took God showing me that it was what I needed to do. But it was also a personal decision that I made for my wife and my kids. With me being out serving day in and day out, I never want to be the individual that brings anything back to harm my family. I mean, so I made that personal decision to become vaccinated. So like Paulo said, we're not being abrasive. We're not trying to force this on anyone. We're just putting it out there. We're putting the information, education out there, and we're allowing our people to do personally what they will with it.
In talking about this campaign, Get Vaccinated Chattanooga, I'm also mindful of the legacy of somebody you knew very well, Ladarius, and we have talked about him, and that is Chris Ramsey.
Most definitely. For many people that are on the committee, it's not one individual that makes up Get Vaccinated Chattanooga that didn't have some type of personal relationship with Chris. You know, even Paulo, we all work very closely together. It's already important, but when you think about the transition of someone that was, he meant so much to us personally, he meant so much to our community. Of course, that is also a whole nother driving force behind why we're so passionate about this, because we know that if he was here, he'd be right in the thick of this. He'd be leading the charge. So for us, it's about legacy. It's about continuing on the work that he so diligently fought for many, many decades. It's very personal to us. So, you know, actually, in this case, I can speak for Paulo as well and saying this is a very personal thing to us, and we want to do this for him. We want to do it for our community. It's a saying in our community, what is understood doesn't need to be explained. And I know we're on a radio show and you're explaining stuff, but we don't need an explanation for why we do what we do. It's in black and white. It's no type of uncertainties or unknowns. We know what the task at hand is. It's just about us getting the work done. And as Chris would always say, it's about us being actionable.
Right. And it was an absolute honor to serve the community next to Chris and just learn so much from the wisdom and experience that he had. And there's many times where this work is not easy. And I know Ladarius and I always say, what would Chris do? You know, we go back to that place where, you know, if he was here, what would he do? And this is a man that is a pillar to equitable healthcare and equitable access and ensuring that the community is represented. And so he's still here with us as a guiding light. And it's just a tragedy in reality. It just goes to show how COVID is just so different and it affects everyone differently. And you just never know. And what we do know is that the vaccines are here, and this is a solution to what we've been fighting for a lot. But it's also the beginning, the work that needs to be done. It's the beginning of ensuring that our communities are all represented and have that equal access to health and to education and information. And so, like I said, it's an absolute honor. And I still feel Chris in this work. And we do this in his honor and always keep him in mind on what would Chris do? Because it seems like he always had the answers. And so we miss him very much. And I know that he, like Ladarius said, would be at the very forefront of this. And it just goes to show the importance of vaccines. I mean, frankly, you know, if vaccines were here 2 months before, he may still have been here. And so it's just using his wisdom and his story and his legacy is a driving force behind all of us.
If people want more information, where can they go online? Where can they call?
For more information, we do have a Facebook page called Get Vaccinated Chattanooga, where we're posting all of our education materials, as well as vaccination events. There are health department websites that you can visit to find out where one is near to you by visiting the health department's website, as well as on the health department's website is phone numbers where you can call to schedule your appointment or find out more information on where to get vaccines. And like I said, on Facebook, you can visit our page, Get Vaccinated Chattanooga. And if there's any Spanish oyentes que están escuchando, pueden visitar Apoyo Comunitario COVID-19.
All right, Paulo, Ladarius, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
Color Chattanooga Pink is back. The week of activities, already underway and leading to Friday's virtual Pink Gala, raises awareness of breast cancer and supports the Mary Ellen Locher Breast Cancer Center at CHI Memorial. Julie Brando is co-chair of Pink 2021.
Pink has several different components, Color Chattanooga Pink being just one of those components. And it's all about community outreach and just breast cancer awareness. And so, in fact, our committee delivered Color Chattanooga Pink launch kits all over the community, probably 200 kits. And those kits basically tell shops, restaurants, et cetera, how they can participate. It can be wearing pink t-shirts one day. It can be decorating your windows or highlighting your pink merchandise. So there's a lot of great ways that businesses across our community can show their support of this event. And then, of course, on top of that, you've got the actual gala that will be Friday the 21st, going to be virtual. It's going to be an Emerald City feast, followed up by a virtual concert with Party on the Moon. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Brittany Hennessy is manager of breast services for CHI Memorial.
It allows us to purchase new equipment and things to keep us up to date in our equipment, state of the art. People don't realize how many cancers one piece of equipment find over time. And it is truly a blessing that we have Pink to help support us.
How has COVID-19 affected the work of the Breast Cancer Center?
All are very grateful, but there's still a level of fear. Cancer doesn't care that there's a pandemic. It's still going to show its ugly face and it's still going to try to hurt people and it's still going to be here. So aside from this pandemic, I feel like we still need to be aware of cancer and to do what's necessary to catch it early. That's the number one key with mammography and breast screening is early detections.
Says Julie Brando.
I think if you were in a room of 1,000 people and you asked how many people in this room has had some connection to breast cancer, I guarantee you probably everybody has had some connection, whether it's that person or a family member. So it's just such a prevalent disease. And the more we can be aware of it, use the Mary Ellen Locher Breast Center for that early detection, our community will ultimately be a healthier place.
Where can people go online for more information?
You can call the CHI Memorial Foundation, which is 495-PINK or 495-4438. Or you can email the foundation at foundation@memorial.org. Those are probably the easiest ways to contact those folks at the foundation.
All right, Julie, Brittany, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ray.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots. Every Monday afternoon, we have a virtual performance from the Isis Theater in Asheville. This afternoon, we have the first half of a set from a trio from Charleston, South Carolina, called Gaslight Street. With the sound that is, as one writer put it, equal parts honey and moonshine. This is Whit Elger playing piano and organ, Campbell Brown playing guitar and singing, and drummer Stratton Moore. From the Isis Theatre in Asheville on Thursday, May 6th, this is Gaslight Street.
I can't sit here to dawn, staring at you within my mind. I can't walk out on this good kind of living, so just wait till we're further along. So just wait till we're further along. You got the sweetest face to me, and your heart is strong as steel. Make my mind feel at ease. How much love can this girl feel? How much love can this girl feel? And I'll pick you up when you're feeling down. Got me starting to believe, but don't tell me that you leave me alone. You got my heart on a crippled throne. You got my heart on a crippled throne. Had your hands on a hill, taking us in. You got the feeling. Give him more than ever will. Pull me in, but you know I'm dealing. Pull me in, but you know I'm dealing. And I'll pick you up when you're feeling down. You got me starting to believe. But don't tell me that you leave me alone. You got my heart on a crippled throne. You know that time moves slow when you're away. Consume my thoughts. Won't you follow the day? But I said, please. Won't you bring it back home, baby? I know you want me over, so please bring it back home. I can't hold on much longer. Please bring it on back home, baby. Yeah, you know gonna be alright. I know you can't take it easy. I ain't hold on. No.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Goes a clock on the wall, and then I wonder, am I really gonna go outside today? Or what if I can get myself out of the way? Cause I've been informed what an incorrigible way that I've been here. And she's so perceptive, so right. What in the A-hole? What the exact words, if I remember correctly? And she's so perceptive, so right. She is so right. She's alright, she's alright. She's alright, she's alright, she's
found something else. And maybe we'll just to see I'm right. One thing, maybe she'll be happy. And see you get married, yeah. Cause I've been in for on what an incorrigible way that I've been here. And she's so perceptive, so right. What in the a-hole? What the exact words, if I remember correctly? And she's so perceptive, so right. She's alright, she's alright, she's alright. She's alright, she's alright, she's alright. Maybe I can find something else. And maybe we'll just see I'm right. One thing, maybe she'll be happy. And she'll get me happy, yeah. Cause I've been in for on what an incorrigible way that I've been here. And she's so perceptive, so right. What in the a-hole? What the exact words, if I remember correctly? And she's so perceptive, so right. She's alright, she's alright, she's alright. She's alright, she's alright, she's alright. She's alright, she's alright, she's alright. She's alright. She's alright. half the time. I'm in a rebel mood, no less than half the time. You want me to be happy, and I said that I'm feeling fine. You want me to be happy, just don't have the heart to tell you. I'm in a rebel mood, just want you to know sometime. I'm in a rebel mood, I'm giving up my life. And when I have you there, everything's gonna be alright. I'm gonna love you, fair. I just can't lose my sight, no. You want me to be happy, and I say that I'm feeling fine. You want me to be happy, just don't have the heart to tell you, babe. But I know that you want me. Think about you damn near every night, and I know that you need me. Just gonna make me lose my mind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Oh, it's all right. And I said that I'm feeling fine. You want me to be happy, and I said that I'm feeling fine. Oh, you want me to be happy, and I said that I'm feeling fine. Oh, you want me to be happy, just don't have the heart to tell you about it now.
True story.
It really is.
You pick up and say to leave you alone.
And I said, baby, baby, please don't go. You hang up and I'm here all alone, singing, come back, come back, come back, baby, come. Got a push and pull so lighting up your cheer. I just wanna let you know now, baby. I think it's time for you to have some conversation. I can't believe don't want no relation. So set it down one time. Set it down two times. Set it down three times. Won't be no charm for me. No charm for me. Blood in my heart. Blood in my heart. Blood in my heart. That was the last time that you're here. You made me a fool enough. It's not a crime that you need. You just gotta push and pull, so lighting up your cheek. I just wanna let you know now, baby. I think it's time.
time for you to have some conversation. I can't believe I don't want no relation. So I set it down one time, I set it down two times, I set it down three times. Won't be no charm for me, no charm for me flooding my heart, flooding my heart, flooding my heart with tears. I just wanna let you know now, baby.
Thank you. That's a brand new one. Thanks, y'all.
Gaslight Street from the Isis Theatre in Asheville. Video of the show is on the Isis Theatre Facebook page. We'll have the second half of their set next Monday here on Scenic Roots on listener-supported public radio from Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.